Romans 6 and verse 1. What then shall we say? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Far be the thought. We who have died to sin, how shall we still live in it? Are you ignorant that we, as many as have been baptized unto Christ Jesus, have been baptized unto his death? We have been buried therefore with him by a baptism unto death, in order that even as the Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. And a little further on, verse 10, for in that he has died to sin once for all, but in that he lives to God. So also ye reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to obey its lusts. Neither yield your members instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as alive from among the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. Chapter 12 of the same epistle, chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First Epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 6. And read from verse 9. Do ye not know that unrighteous persons shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not err, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who make women of themselves, nor who abuse themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor abusive persons, nor the rapacious shall inherit the kingdom of God. But these things were some of you, but ye have been washed, but ye have been sanctified, but ye have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful to me, but all things do not profit. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God will bring to nothing both it and them. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord, and will raise us up from among the dead by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then, taking the members of the Christ, make them members of a harlot? Far be the thought. Do you not know that he that is joined to the harlot is one body? For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin which a man may practice is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Glorify now then God in your body. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 1. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, to the Mount of Olives, he sends two of his disciples and says to them, go into the village which is over against you, and immediately on entering into it you will find a colt tied, upon which no child of man has ever sat. Loose it and leave it here. And if anyone say to you, why do you this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And straightway he sends it hither. And they departed and found a colt bound to the door without at the crossway, and they loosed him. And some of those who stood there said to them, what are ye doing loosing the colt? And they said to them, as Jesus had commanded. And they let them do it. And they led the colt to Jesus and cast their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. And many strewed their clothes on the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and went on strewing them on the way. And those going on before and those followed cried out, Hosanna! Blessed be he that comes in the Lord's name. Blessed be the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and having looked around on all things, now being already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And one more reference, again, First Epistle to Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 58. So then, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We were speaking in the reading this afternoon about God's glad tidings and its effect upon us, and what God has done for us in giving his beloved Son, in setting us free from our sins. What I want to mention, figure out tonight, is that there should be an answer to the gospel, to the glad tidings. There should be an answer in each of our lives, those of us that have come to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I'd like to start by making an appeal, if there is any here who has not yielded to the Lord, who has not yet confessed their sins, and as we have put their faith, believed in their hearts and put their faith and trust in Jesus, that this is a good opportunity to do so. It might not be the gospel preaching, but God would like to use this opportunity of appealing to your heart that you might come and put your trust in this wonderful, glorious man. And what I want to speak about is, as having come that way, what is the answer going to be in our lives? Surely we've had the most wonderful blessing and salvation given to us and made known to us. Surely our hearts need to be motivated to be here for the Lord Jesus. I was particularly impressed by what is said in Matthew chapter 11. The Lord has need. And dear brother, sister, child, the Lord has need of you today. He has need of all of us. And I just desire that there may be something worked out in each of our hearts to the glory and praise of the Lord Jesus. So where I started in Romans chapter 6, if you remember, we spoke about the first five chapters of what God is towards man, what he is for us. These chapters 6, 7 and 8 then speak about what's worked out in our hearts. What shall we say? What are we going to say to these things? What are we going to say to the gospel, to God's wonderful glad tidings? Are we just going to take it and go away and just carry on as normal? Well, what Paul says here, far be the thought. Should we continue in sin that grace may be abound? Far be the thought. What we need to come into, dear hearer, is deliverance. Come into the game of being delivered from sin. From being delivered from chapter 7 speaks being delivered from the law, and in chapter 7 it also speaks being delivered from the flesh. We need to come into the game of deliverance if we are to be available and serviceable to the Lord Jesus. I can't say too much about it, but trust that each of us may come into the game of knowing what it is to be delivered from sin and from the law and from the flesh. How are we going to come into the game there? How are we going to get free of all these things that might hinder us in being here for the Lord Jesus? These chapters 6, 7, 8 are very vital to Christian history, soul history, and it's something which we have to go through for ourselves. This is Paul's real experience, his own experience. As I said earlier today, it's a doctrine of the gospel, but it is a doctrine based on Paul's experience of what he found. And as we come to put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, we will find there are opposing influences to us really coming into the game and enjoyment of our Christianity. God doesn't want us to remain in these things. He wants us to be delivered, to free, as we sung a hymn, free to live to serve the Saviour. And I desire that each of us are coming to the game of these things. So he goes on to say there that we should walk in newness of life. That's what God has in mind, that we should be delivered from the world and from sin and from the flesh to walk in newness of life. It speaks in the next chapter of serving in newness of spirit. What God has in mind is something new and something living. And we will find, as we have come to accept the Lord, we will find we have struggles. We have what works in us. We have the flesh. We have what is outward that opposes us. We find the world is against us, but the great thing is that we can find deliverance. And where can we find it? We find it in the Lord Jesus. He is the deliverer. He is the one who has suffered for us to deliver us out of this present evil world. We have to realise that the world that we live in is a terrible, sad world, and it's under judgment. But the Christian is to live here, but not live it in bondage to it, to be set free from it, so to have our part and place in serving the Lord. So he goes on to say, and where he read that, reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to obey its lust. Neither yield your members instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Well, we've been that way. We've been that before we've come to the Lord, but before we've been saved, we've yielded our members to unrighteousness. Now we're to yield our members to righteousness, to what is good. Yielding our members. What are our members? It's our eyes, it's our ears, it's our hands and our feet. All these parts of us, dear fellow believer, are to be yielded for the pleasure and service of God. And may we be helped to find the power to do it. Some of them to work, to yield ourselves as alive from among the dead. Sin shall not have dominion over you. God doesn't want the believer to be kept under the power and domain of sin. He wants you to be set free. It can be sometimes these experiences can be quite challenging, they can be quite sorrowful and quite bitter. But the great thing is to come and know the one who can deliver us out of these things, the blessed Lord Jesus. He is a great deliverer, and God has given us a power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We spoke of it briefly in the reading, what a wonderful gift the gift of the Holy Spirit is. And I want to speak a little bit about that later on. God has given you his Spirit that we might live, that we might live for God. We cannot live in our own strength. We cannot live by our own power. And God has seen fit to give his Holy Spirit that he might indwell the heart of the believer, so that he can walk here in service and pleasure to him. You say, well, I don't feel that I have the Spirit. Well, you can ask. You can ask God to give you his Spirit. We read in Ephesians, didn't we? We touched on that. He sealed us with his Spirit. God's work is sealed in our heart, in our hearts, when we believe in the Lord Jesus. And he'll give you his Spirit. If you say, if you're not conscious of having it, ask for help. Ask for the power of it. Because it is the only way, the only power, that you can overcome all these things that are opposed to you, in yourself and in the world. You cannot overcome it in your own strength. So take what's available from God in his Spirit, that you might be able to walk here in pleasure for him. Sometimes we underestimate the power of the devil, the power of the foe in the world. We underestimate the power of the flesh in us. You know, these things are opposed. What we are as believers and the flesh is opposed to one another. But we need to be freed from it, that we might be here able to serve. And so I read in chapter 12 of Romans. We're delivered. We come to the point that we're delivered. And now what are we going to do with the rest of our time? Paul is saying here, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Putting your body on the altar. Yes, whilst we've been blessed in the glad tidings, we're not left here at our own devices to be here for ourselves. We're to present ourselves, present our bodies a living sacrifice. We can take account of how the Lord Jesus, he presented himself. What a sacrifice he has done. Think of how he lived every day of his life in service to his God. But think of the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made in delivering himself into death, and that was death at the cross. He yielded himself. You think of what it must have meant. We contemplate these things in our spirits, what it must have meant for the Lord Jesus to go into death. Each one of us here knows that death lies upon us because of what we are and what we have done. But the Lord Jesus was holy. He was set apart. Think of what he took upon himself, you know. He took upon our liabilities and our sins, and he knew that he had to go into death were we to be set free. He presented himself a living sacrifice. Every movement of every day was yielded to God. But may we take to heart the example set by the Lord Jesus. He says, holy and acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. And then he goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, our minds need to be renewed. Our mind, you might say, is the most lawless part of our being. Can stray anywhere. Any thoughts can come into our mind that, you know, we have the power within us to overcome these things, that we might be transformed. You know, the gospel is supposed to transform people. It's transformed Paul, isn't it? We were speaking about that today. That man that was on the Damascus Road, in hatred for Christians, he's out there to destroy them, and God struck him down. And what a change was brought in his life. Well, we haven't all had Pauline conversions, I know. But the idea is that we should be the same, that we should be transformed, we should be changed persons, so that we're here available for service to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is something that really troubled me as a youngster. What is the will of God for me? What is his will? Well, I think we get the answer here. God wills us to present ourselves to him. We may not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might be found here in service for the Lord. You know, we haven't much time left, really, have we? The Lord's coming again soon. However long or short in our lives, it's still not enough time, is it, to devote ourselves in service to the Lord, to lay our bodies on the altar. It means sacrifice. It means giving way to what is my will, what might be for my own pleasure. It means sacrifice. But, you know, we don't have to worry about the Lord not taking account of that. Anything you sacrifice for the Lord, he'll take account of. But the great thing is to commit, to lay your body on the altar, and to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. Ask him to help you. Ask him to lead you to understand what his will is for you. He has a need of you, dear brother and sister. I then read in Corinthians. I wasn't going to read this whole section, but I have done to get the tense of it, really. What I have in mind is what Paul says to the Corinthians. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body, dear brother and sister, young person, is very precious to the Lord. He's redeemed you. He's bought you. You've been bought with a price. And your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're living in a very corrupt and defiling world. Never has it been so, I would say. But what I was rather struck in reading this passage to the Corinthians, what kind of people some of these Corinthians were, you know. And when you've been brought up in a protected environment, and I think to be brought up in a Christian household is the greatest blessing you can have as youngsters, we don't know the depths of depravity that are around us. But some of these Corinthians were obviously very depraved people. But these things we see, we look here, are things that are being promoted and we see all around us in the present day. And I just felt that we needed to see that what is around us, what is corrupting, that as believers we don't become defiled by it. It's so easy. There's never been an opportunity for people to be so easily defiled by these things. They're at your fingertips. But the Lord will speak to our hearts that we may be preserved and kept from these defiling things, that we might be here in service to him. So these people, it says, these things were some of you. What an incredible change in their lives must have taken place. Think of Paul going into Corinth, you know. As I said earlier, he said in chapter 2 that he went into Corinth. He didn't come in excellency of word or wisdom, announcing to you the testimony of God. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I take comfort from that. It must have been quite a thing for Paul to go into such a place. But the Lord, he said, I have much people in his place. He knew what the Lord had said to him, and he went in there, he announced the glad tidings to them, and these people were transformed. They were changed. It says, these things are some of you, but you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified. Let us take these things to heart. We've been washed from our sins, been sanctified, set apart, and we have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, this is something to encourage us in this defining world, as I say. He raises these matters of how they were to treat their bodies, and this terrible matter of fornication, and surrounded with it on every hand. But then he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He's taken his abode in you. It's a very precious thing. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, dear hearer. give him his place and his respect and due. He's taken his dwelling in your body. You know, it's a very fine thing when a believer dies, it's to remember that that body's been a vessel of the Holy Spirit. And when we bury a saint, we bury it in respect of the work of God and the fact that the Holy Spirit has indwelt that person. So let us realise this. You know, I'm very sympathetic with young people. Believe me, I am. My family might not believe it, but I am sympathetic. But the world that we're living in, it can be very... The devil is ever so clever. You know, he's ever so easy to lead us into temptation, to lead us astray in our minds and our actions. The world looks a very exciting place, and it can be that. And that's how the devil operates. He wants to seduce you, suck you into his world. Realise how great it is, and there's some very exciting things there, but underneath, it's a pit of corruption, depression. And I remember someone illustrating it once: the world is like a soapy bubble, it's floating in the air, looks nice, but click the surface and you get a dirty piece of water. And that's what the world is: it's corrupting and defiling. But we have a power within us to overcome. That's what Paul's saying to these Corinthians: this was what you were, but now you're changed, you're transformed. And you have this power to live your life here. He says, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, and you have of God, and your own? If you have not been bought with a price, glorify now then God in your body. Think of the price that has been paid to redeem you. The price of the Saviour's life, his precious blood has been shed, that blood that has washed us from our sins. It should affect our hearts, bought with a price. The price of the death of another. The Lord Jesus, the only one who had a right to live, he bought you for himself. He wants you. He has need of you. That's why I read in Mark's Gospel. I'm not just speaking to young people, by the way. I'm speaking to us all. The Lord has need of you. I know the illustration here. It is a colt, which is the foal of an ass. That's a young donkey. But the Lord has need of all of us, young and old, for his service. I take it and understand it is a colt, so it is a young ass, and there is an appeal to the young here as well. It says it's a colt tied, which no child or man has ever sat. Loose it and lead it here. They were told they would find the colt bound to the door without at the crossway. Quite an interesting thought, the crossway, because the note tells us it's not in the main street. Maybe we're not in the main street, main way yet. Maybe we're tired or waiting to serve the Lord. Many here are at crossroads, crossways in their lives. Which way are they going to go? Are we going to be here for the testimony of the Lord Jesus, or are we going to be here for our own lives and to fulfill our own ends? Well, it was tied at the crossways of decision time. But the call went out, the Lord has need of it. And the Lord has need of each one of us for his service. May you be encouraged, dear fellow believer, and realise that the Lord has need of you and me. However young, however old, he's got need of all of us to be found in his service. We're never too old to serve the Lord. We're never too young to serve the Lord. And the Lord has need. And these days, I'll say, we all are in great need of every bit of help we can find. The Lord has need of you. And so it says, upon which no child of man has ever sat, loose it and leave it here. The Lord wants you to be free. As I said, we sung in a hymn, free to live, to serve the Saviour. Loose it and leave it here. Lead it to the Lord. I would love to lead you to the Lord tonight, dear hearer, to find what you can do for the Lord, how you can be available. Think of how this colt was found in carrying the Lord in testimony into Jerusalem. What a service that was, wasn't it? This colt speaks as a picture of what we can be as believers, you know. What can be available in service. And some here know something about horses and animals. It's an impossible thing to just sit on a horse or a donkey without it being first broken and trained. I think it's a lovely illustration to see here the way the Lord just sits on this animal
and it's subdued immediately. You know, that's what it's like coming under the influence of Christ. He subdues us, you know. He has authorities over us. We spoke in the reading about saying Lord. He has rights over us. Are we prepared to accept that he is our Lord and that we're to be here at his service, at his beck and call, what he asks us to do? And so the Lord shows the power of who he was in his person as well, the creator, you know. Think of who Jesus was. Yes, he was a man, but he was God manifest in flesh, able to subdue even the creation to himself. But he wants to subdue each one of us, dear friends, dear believers, to be here for him, to carry him in service. They say, why do you do this? The Lord has needed it. Think of these ones who were available. We're told, aren't we, elsewhere, that there was an ass and there was a foal. There were two. Matthew tells us there were two. There was the ass and there was the colt, the foal of the ass. That's instructive too, that these were both available for the Lord and his service. So they loose him. They said, why are you doing this? They said to them, as Jesus had commanded, let them do it. Think of them casting their clothes on the Lord. This is an amazing time for the Lord when he was here, going into Jerusalem. They saw to it that he was acknowledged as the King. Hosanna, blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord. They saw, it was seen to it that Jesus was acknowledged as the King in Jerusalem. Well, we know what happened a few days later, where they cried, crucify, crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us. But think, dear hearer, dear friends and believers, the Lord is coming to proclaim his glory soon. Are we looking forward to that moment? Are we desiring to be here, faithful to him, to have part in his glory? It says, when the Lord comes with all his own. What a moment that will be. Think of how the world, when they last saw the Lord, it was on a cross. Think of the curses and despising of Jesus on that cross. And yet, he's coming again in glory and power to reign. Do you know the Lord, Jesus, as your Saviour and Lord? Have you trusted him? Are you waiting for that moment? Have you desired to be here in service for him, waiting for him? I would encourage each of us here to find our heart and place in serving the Lord, to be available to him, to yield ourselves to him, to lay our bodies on the altar, that we might be here carrying the Lord in testimony until he comes. That is to be the portion of believers, that we might have our heart and place in carrying the testimony for the Lord. And so I just finally touch on that scripture in Corinthians 15. What an end to that chapter it is, the one that we started this afternoon. So then, my beloved brethren, what affection Paul had for these Corinthian saints. You know, he'd laboured there a lot. He'd been there 18 months at the start. He had great affection. My beloved brethren. It's a wonderful way to speak about the brethren. Have affection for them. My beloved brethren, he says, be firm, immovable. The truth of the glad tidings should have that effect upon us, that we might be firm and immovable. We're in a very fast-changing scene around us. The world is changing dramatically, almost daily. Terrible upheavals and things going on, but the believer is to be found firm and immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord. Well, that's a challenge to us, isn't it? Abounding always in the work of the Lord. What you find your hand to do, do it well. But always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. You know, I love that. You know, sometimes we might be doing things and think, nobody notices. Nobody notices what I do. Why should I bother? But there is one that notices. The Lord takes account of every service you do for him. That's an encouragement to younger ones as well, because you might not think that you're very significant. You don't have to be significant in God's things. Every deed and every service that is done for the Lord is taken account of by him, and he will reward accordingly to it. And as you take up service in some little way, the Lord will give you more to do. He has need of you. He has need of us all, as I said. Are we available? Are we abounding in that work, awaiting his coming? The toil is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, you might be working hard at school. You might be working hard at the workplace, and that can be in vain. Very often it was in my case at school. The toil was in vain. Some was challenged, I didn't toil at all. But there we are. It can be in vain in the world. But what you do for the Lord, it's not in vain. I would encourage everyone to be found today in service for this blessed person. What a saviour he is. He's my saviour. He's my Lord. I wish I was more faithful to him. And I would trust that I can invigorate and encourage all of our hearts here. especially the young ones, it's lovely to see you. You're starting out in your life here, may be found in service for the blessed Lord, for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May you give your heart to him. May you give your life to him. You'll never regret whatever you do for him. I just trust that we can encourage each one of us to be found here today as serving him. What an answer there should be in our hearts to the glad tidings and its effect upon us, you know. That's what God is looking for. That the wonderful glad tidings that has reached us, we should answer to it, or maybe be encouraged to do so, for his name's sake.
Amen.